I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Today we're going to talk about how important it is to really have a sense of humor. And there is one man who can help us do that, who's been doing that for years, an all-around entertainer. Where do you get your inspiration to write your pieces and your sketches and your jokes? Where is your inspiration coming from?
Everyday life. I mean, honestly, the material writes for itself. When you live with me, it writes for itself, honestly. Every aspect of my life has a comedy turn. It truly does. And things happen to me that don't happen to normal people. I just don't know why it happens to me. You know, and because it happens to me, I think I attract it. So I immediately write it down. And I write it down on my phone, and then I create material out of it, and then I go on tour with it. And like I did with Armenia Uncovered, when we were in Armenia, oh my goodness, the things that I experienced became literally a two-hour show that I toured around the US and the UK and the world for, oh God, it was in 2019, I think I did about 23 cities.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
Amazing. I mean, touring around the world and doing your one-man show to people who want to come and support you and come and see the show is by far one of the greatest experiences. I mean, it's the greatest feelings in the world. It really is. You know, you walk on stage in a different city every other day, and there are thousands of people coming to support you, coming to watch you. And I find that really, it's humbling, but it's also a blessing. And for me, I don't take anything for granted. You know, my gratitude levels have gone sky high. And the higher they go, the more successful I seem to become. So I'm very blessed like that. And like in South Africa, you know, I went and did two years of the Cape Town Funny Festival. And on the third year, I did a arena tour, a one night only arena tour, which was 4,000 people. And I was the fastest selling artist in Cape Town.
Wow. That's fantastic.
So I'm blessed.
Tell me, there's a couple of things I want to ask you. What, you know, you talk about your gratitude levels are at their highest. You talk about how you've always been positive and motivational, and your outlook and your energy has always been that way. But there, you know, it's not like life doesn't throw you curveballs, and it's not like you're exempt from having challenges in life, right? Like, you're still human, and there's still things that happen. How do you stay in that space of positivity? How do you stay in that space of gratitude? How do you stay in that space of turning some really stuff that happens into a joke and a piece of content? How do you do that?
Easy. And I'll tell you why it's easy. Because when you have an outlook and a mind process that basically says whatever you think, you attract. So whatever you conceive and you believe, you achieve. It's basically the Napoleon Hill outlook. You know, he was obviously very important as a motivational thinker. But I truly look at things, and if someone throws a curveball, and hey, listen, we all get it. Every day of our lives, we get curveballs, and we get, you know, issues, we get problems, we get this, we get that. But if you look at it and you allow the environment to control your emotion, then you're actually a victim to that environment. You're a victim. Whereas if you look at the environment and think, it's there, it's going to happen, but look, I'm not going to pay attention to it, so ultimately it will come and it will go as quick as it's come, then I think you have a more positive outlook on life.
The law of attraction is, if our listeners and viewers don't know about it, I suggest you go read about it. I understand what you're talking about. The law of attraction is very powerful, and the law of attraction does not understand negatives. So you saying you don't want something, it's just as good as you saying you want it, because if you speak it, you think it, you believe it, you attract it. And that is a philosophy that has been true in motivation, in mindset that has existed for many, many years, and we know a lot of successful people have adopted it. So thank you for reminding us of that. I want to ask you about the moment where you're playing. By the way, for those of you who don't know Kev, he is a classical pianist, and he is very good. In fact, if I remember correctly, the first time I saw your act was on a piano.
It's always been on a piano.
It's been always been on a piano. So I haven't seen anything since then, and shame on me for actually being honest about it and saying that. I'm gonna buy your DVD. I owe you that much.
You don't need to buy it. I'll send you one. Don't worry.
And but I remember you. Your act has always been on the piano. But there was a moment where you were playing this white piano on top of the mountain with Ararat in the background, and it. I mean, that just made look like beautiful scenery to a non-Armenian, but to an Armenian, that was like. Wow, there's so much history and so much meaning, and there's so much depth to that one view. Tell me what that felt like.
Oh. The only way I can describe it is when I said to the producer, I want to play the piano overlooking Mount Ararat. He said, well, let's go to Khorgila. And I said, okay. So we went to Khorgila, and we were the great picturesque church, the history with that church, it's just something else. And these two old guys, and I truly mean Laurel and Hardy at 140, right? These two old guys turned up with a piano, right? And they were walking up the mountain. And I'm going, you're carrying a piano up the mountain? And he said, don't worry, it's nothing, we do this many times. And I said, okay. And they came up, they put it down, and we literally, I sat there, and we had to stop it because I started crying.
Oh.
I felt so emotional. And then obviously I played the track that I wrote, The March, which featured in the documentary as well, and which actually is coming out on Spotify and iTunes next week.
Very cool. So
you'll be able to download the track as well. But, it was something else, I'll be honest, something else. Your heart stops when you see something like that.
It seems like it would be surreal to be sitting there playing the piano overlooking Mount Ararat and having it documented. It's like the pinnacle of someone who's sort of feels like I've done something or I've achieved something great. And I don't know if that's been on your bucket list, but I felt it.
On my bucket list is actually playing it on Mount Ararat.
Yeah, I hear you. There were a few times during the documentary that you almost sort of lost it. There was a moment on when you were on, it wasn't a parachute. What is that thing called?
Oh, when I was doing the paragliding.
When you were flying over Lake Sevan. Tell me about what was happening at that moment.
My heart stopped, and I'll tell you for why. This was the weirdest thing ever. I don't think a lot of people would have done this, I'll be honest. We set everything up. It took about 30 minutes to set everything up.
Yeah.
We got the drone up in the sky so that it would film me flying around. And the guy who was flying us was an awesome human being. And he said, are you ready? I said, yeah. He said, get the GoPro ready. We've got everything ready. And lo and behold, as we were taking off, the parachute behind us jammed. So we literally had to stop. So we turned around, we came back, we set everything up again. And at this point, the producer went, the director went, are you sure you want to do this? I said, yeah, it's fine. So we went back up for the second time. And I mean, you see it on the documentary. I literally get emotional. I'm like, I don't know why this is happening to me. I mean, God must love me. He truly must, because it was beyond just insane for me to do something like that.
Yeah.
And Lake Sevan, you know, to experience such beauty. And then we came back, obviously, we landed. And you don't take it all in till you watch the documentary and you go, oh, and you go, I actually did that, you know. So it was an amazing experience, and I recommend, truly recommend
I'm a
everyone.
Little bit envious of you for that, a little bit. That's kind. Good joke. You know, just a little bit. But no, there is something, and I've done, you know, travel shows before, and I've done travel things before, and they are my favorite thing to do because you get to experience so much of the things that you wouldn't normally experience on a daily life, in order to tell a story. And you end up just doing things that are just unbelievable, and sometimes you don't even realize it and appreciate it until after the fact, and it's like, whoa, I actually did that. I loved your funny moments, the Armenian funny moments. Tell me, how hard was that to translate what was happening, that the sense of humor of the Armenian sense of humor to the English audience? Tell me a little bit about that.
Do you know what? With Armenian sense of humor, it's all about the visuals. Armenians are very visual people. They talk with their hands. They talk with their hearts. They talk with their
What
eyes.
Are you talking about? What do you mean? We don't talk with our hands.
Exactly. So the fact that I was there, and, you know, especially the carpet, you know, when I was up on the roof and I was beating the carpet. The two ladies I was working with, and after a while, they had to walk away because they were laughing too much. And it just got to a point where we couldn't stop laughing. And there was no language needed. It was just pure joy, the energy around. And then they treated us to the most humble yet a king's dinner that they gave us. And it just pierced your eyes.
Yeah.
Completely.
You've... I had a very strange connection to the moment on top of the roof with the carpets. And that might be something interesting and unique to maybe people who were born here or who are Westerners, who, you know, non-Armenians. But to me, it has a very unique sort of meaning because I actually grew up in Iran. I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in Iran, and I remember that every year part of spring cleaning is pulling out the wool, which is in your pillows and in your comforters, and washing it just like you did. That's something I used to do as a kid, and I used to look forward to that because it was fun. Who doesn't want to play in water and splash all around? And then waiting for the guy to show up with that thing, and that was a terrifying moment where we all ran inside. So for me, it had a very different nostalgic but funny, and it had so much texture and depth, and I wish some of that could be explained and I don't know, some of the feeling that it generates to people who watch it. And some of that gets lost, I think, in the translation. But I just want to let you know that I appreciated it beyond what most people would. So there's a connection to the culture that I love, that it wasn't watered down, you know?
Armenians are really, it's like, you know, we've always endured, I think is a good word. We've always endured.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we've had to cope with. We've always endured, and we've always, like Lady Cox, Baroness Cox said on the documentary, we rise from the ashes, you know, and we create such beauty, and she's absolutely right, we do.
Yeah, and that tends to make us feel like we can survive anything. And I mean, it's obviously a double-edged sword because it instills in you and in your blood and in your DNA to consistently work hard, to consistently deliver, to consistently be productive, to consistently be on top of whatever it is that you're doing, and to show up and level up every single time. But the other side of that double-edged sword is that we tend to ignore the things that we need to pay attention to, like wearing masks and, you know, refraining from the three kisses and, you know, all of that other stuff that just, you know. anything else you want to talk about? Haven't covered? Do you want to chat a little bit about your other projects, what you've been working on, and how you're staying in your creative space?
I'll be honest with you, my creativity has gone sky high because obviously that's the only thing you can do during lockdown. So for me, it's been a really productive time. We've created many, many events, many shows. One of the things that I think I am truly blessed with in this world, and I can't tell you what the feeling is. I really can't tell you. But if I could compare it, it's like seeing my child being born for the first time. That's how blessed I feel when I look at a healthy baby and I go, that belongs to me now. And the way I look at Armenians around the world is pretty similar with that love and affection that I have, because I love performing. I love it. It's my life. But I also love performing to Armenians.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love most about Armenians, I truly, truly mean this, is anywhere I go in the world, if I Facebook and say I'm stuck in New York or Philadelphia or Boston or Fresno or San Francisco, and I just say I'm stuck and I don't know where to go, guaranteed hundreds of Armenians will go, Kevin, imi dunasevu.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's that kind of thing. And that to me, beyond anything, forget financially, forget spiritually, forget anything, is the best feeling in the world to know that I have a family everywhere in the world.
Yeah, I have to second that. That's a very powerful testimony that you just gave. But it's not just something you say, and it's not just that kind of hospitality is not reserved for celebrities. That's truly who we are, no matter who you are. I've experienced the same thing. I've moved around the country so many times chasing a career in journalism, and every city I went to, and the moment my name was on television, or the moment I met someone in a grocery store, or the moment somebody knew that I was Armenian, there was always a, you have a new family here, do you have anyone here, come have dinner at our house, come to the church, or come to this event, or it's this, what Saroyan wrote, really, right? William Saroyan wrote. The quote by William Saroyan, in action, in real life, actually executed, there is truth to that. And in my travels this last summer, while I did not seek you out, I did travel to Poland, Warsaw, Poland, and I went to Paris, and I went to a couple of other places, and I ran into Armenians just arbitrarily. And same thing happened. What are you doing? You're traveling by yourself. Oh, come join us. Come have dinner with us. Come to our house. Or if you end up in Germany, that's where we are. It's just this element of community worldwide, this element of community and culture and support system anywhere you go in the world. And I, the older I get, the more I appreciate its value. The older I get, the more I understand how important and how difficult it is to have a tribe, to have a community. And we have one that is so deeply rooted for centuries that we tend to, when we're young, to take advantage of it and not appreciate it and take it for granted.
Totally agree with you. Amen to that. Definitely.
And the truth of it is, for those of you listening who are not Armenian, who know me well, you know that I've looked you in the eye and said, you're family now. So we don't just, that this philosophy isn't just true for only Armenians. This philosophy is true for the people who are in our circle, who become our friends, who then tend to be our family. So it's extended to other people and other cultures and people who are in our lives. And I don't know how much that's true for you and you've experienced it, but that's been true for me. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's the same for me. Totally. Wherever I go, wherever I do, whoever I meet, I'm truly blessed. You know, it's very rare for an Armenian to, towards me anyway, that I've had any kind of negative thing. I mean, of course, I've had a few, but that's natural. You know, if you're in this business and you're in the limelight, you've got to take the good and the bad.
Thank you for lifting our spirits during this challenging time. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us. I can continue to ask you questions and continue to educate our audience. One of the things that I love doing is having Armenian guests, because it allows us to kind of do the story behind the story, to then give our non-Armenian guests an insight to the culture, an insight to who we are and how we operate, and the nuances that they may not know about us as people, as individuals, as a culture, as a community. So thank you for participating in that process. And I love you. I miss you. I promise you, next time I'm in London, I am looking you up. I love you.
I love you too, darling. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Best of luck to Armenia Uncovered.
And I wish you all the success in the world. You keep going strong. And the better you become, the better we all become. So
thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Silva Haripetyan. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.